Turn your Bibles to Judges chapter 17. Judges chapter 17. And when you find it, please stand in honor of God's word. Judges chapter 17. We're going to read a few more verses than normal. For health reasons, you can't stand that long. Go ahead and sit down if you need to. But Aaron, that doesn't mean you. I'm just joking. And by the way, he made a comment. We sang the song, and when I see him face to face, he pokes me and says, I just hope that when I get to heaven, he doesn't look like you. I'm like, yeah, thanks. So anyways, with friends like that, who needs enemies, right? So anyways, no, Aaron's a good guy. If you can't joke around, I don't know, you know. And so anyways, Judges chapter 17 and verse 1, the Bible says, and there was a man of Mount Ephraim whose name was Micah. And he said unto his mother, the 1,100 shekels of silver that were taken from thee, about which thou cursed and spakest also in me in mine ears, behold, the silver is with me. I took it. And his mother said, blessed be thou of the Lord, my son. And when he had restored 1,100 shekels of silver to his mother, his mother said, I had wholly dedicated the silver unto the Lord from my hand for my son, to make a graven image and a molten image. Now therefore I will restore it unto thee. Yet he restored the money unto his mother, and his mother took 200 shekels of silver and gave them to the founder, who made thereof a graven image and a molten image of and which they were in the house of Micah. And a man Micah had a house of the gods, and made an ephod and a teraphim, and consecrated one of his sons, who became his priest. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And there was a young man out of Bethlehem, Judah, of the family of Judah, who was a Levite, and he sojourned there. And the man departed out of the city from Bethlehem, Judah, to sojourn where he could find a place. And he came to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, as he journeyed. And Micah said unto him, whence comest thou? And he said unto him, I am a Levite of Bethlehem, Judah, and I sojourn where I may find a place. And Micah said unto him, dwell with me, and be unto me a father and a priest, and I will give unto thee 10 shekels of silver by the year, and suit of apparel, and thy victuals. So the Levite went in, and the Levite was content to dwell with the man, and the young man was with him as one of his sons. And Micah consecrated the Levite, and the young man became his priest, and was in the house of Micah. Then said Micah, now know I have the Lord will do me good, seeing I have a Levite to my priest. In 18 and verse 7, the Bible says, then the five men departed and came to, we're going to read through verse 7, I'm sorry. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of Danites sought them, an inheritance to dwell in them, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan sent of their families 5 men from their coasts, 5 men of valor from Zorah unto Eshtal to spy out the land and search it. And they sent unto them, go search the land. When they came to the Mount Ephraim, to the house of Micah, they lodged there. When they were by the house of Micah, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they had turned in hither and said unto him, who brought thee hither, and what makest thou in this place, and what hast thou here? And he said unto them, thus and thus dealeth Micah with me, and hath hired me, and I am a priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And the priest said unto them, go in peace, before the Lord is your way. Before the Lord is your way wherein ye go. And the 5 men departed and came to Laish, and saw the people wherein how they dwell carelessly after the manner of the Zidonians, quiet and secure. And there was no magistrate in the land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zidonians and had no business with any man. And they came to pass. And they came unto their brethren, to Zorah and Eshtol, and their brethren said unto them, why say ye? Let's pray. Dearly Father, I pray that you use this message. And Dearly Father, I prayed a lot about which message to preach. And Dearly Father, I felt like you would have me to preach this one. Dearly Father, we need to hear from you this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. You know, I'll be honest with you, from time to time, I feel like revivals and different meetings are very important. And this is why I love the fact that our pastor has a fall revival and a spring revival. And I'll never forget when I was just starting out in the ministry, I would go to pastor school every year. And you know what I found was is that we would go to pastor school and we'd be all excited, but soon into the pastor school, I found that there was things in my life that not necessarily I'd done intentionally, but I'd kind of gotten off course a little bit. Not necessarily in a big way, just minor little things. And what happened is I realized that in a few areas I got a little careless. And you know the thing about it is that the sermon this morning is the dangers of careless living. The dangers of careless living. And I believe that from time to time, if we're not careful, we can get a little careless. And this is why, I'll be honest with you, I really feel like, especially in my life, there's no way that I could live the kind of life that God wants me to live without going to all three services. And, Lee Robertson used to say he died when he was in his, I believe, 90s. He made it to 100. And so Lee Robertson was one of the great preachers of the past. I remember hearing him preach. He preached with his finger like that. But anyways, he'd always say, three to thrive. Three to thrive. And I'll be honest with you. I know in my life, I've never thrived spiritually unless I've been in the house of God every time the doors are open. It's a biblical principle. It's not forsaking and assembling of ourselves as together as a manner of some is. But that's not my sermon. The sermon is that careless living. What I found is that when I went to places like pastor school, revivals, what happened is there's certain times where, I'll be honest with you, we have a pastor and he preaches the word of God, but let's face it, there are times where we end up hearing something so much, we get careless about it. And we have certain areas in which we know that we should do, but at times we get careless, whether we give ourselves excuses, whether we do it even knowingly, there are areas in which we get careless. This is why I love the fact that we've started to go to, my wife and I, and I think Kylie and Rusty went with us, the one there, Fire on the Mountain. And why? Because listen, it reminds us of areas in which we're careless. And we're going to talk about this. Here's the thing is the passages that we read. What we have here is an illustration that God gives us of careless living, and it can be summed up in that one verse that said, "But every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And this is what happens when we live carelessly. We end up living life the way we feel that it should be led and should be lived. And I'll be honest with you, this is why I love revivals. I love conferences. I love, here's the thing is, I think I'm probably one of the most blessed person here at Calvary Baptist Church because I get to go to more conferences than the rest of y'all because I can take the teenagers to every conference that I can find. And let me tell you, there are times where I take the teenagers to those conferences, not because I think they need it, because I feel I need it. But here's the thing is that if we're not careful, see, the thing about it is a Christian life is a constant course correction. Why? Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Thing about it is what we find is that our flesh fails us so much. And I think about the preacher that, he heard these self-help tapes and he, go into the mirror and say how awesome you are. And he walked over to the mirror and he's like, you are the most despicable person I know. I hate you. I don't, and anyways, the thing about it is he said, basically the long and short of it is God, you're everything, and if you can use a man like this, bless God, then use him. And the thing about it is a lot of times I feel the same way. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 9. You know, if we're not careful, we're going to live a careless Christian life. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Rise up, you women that are at ease, hear my voice, ye careless daughters, and give ear unto my speech." See, the thing about it is if we're not careful, we're going to be careless. The opposite of careful is careless. We talked about in Sunday school about, it was a rabbit trail. I briefly talked about, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. What is that? That is living life on purpose. It is not living a careless life. It is living a careful life. And see, here's the thing is, if we're not careful, the Bible talks about how iniquity abounds in our lives. And we talked about that in Sunday school. If you missed it, you missed out. And so anyways, Isaiah chapter 47 and verse 8, the Bible says, therefore, hear now this, thou that art given to pleasure, that dwellest carelessly, that saith in thine heart, I am, and none else beside me, I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children. The thing about it is that a lot of times we live life carelessly because of this idea of pleasures. Too many times we live life for our own pleasure, not for the pleasure of God. And anyways, a lot of times this is what happens is we take and we get our eyes. You know, the thing about it is we sing our eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. Here's the thing is why we live carelessly is we get our eyes off of Christ. We get our eyes off of the Savior. And so back to Judges chapter 18 and verse 7. You know, this passage, I don't have a time to elaborate on it too much. Otherwise, we'd be here till 4 o'clock. But the thing about it is that and Brother Watson would be giving me the stink eye about 12:30. But the Bible says, and then five men departed and came to Laish and saw the people that were there and how they dwelt carelessly after the manner of the Zidonians. You know, the thing about it is too many times we live carelessly because of the influence of other people. You know, I'll be honest with you. We are surrounded in Bucyrus here by a lot of churches. And churches that don't necessarily believe that we believe. And what happens is eventually, you know, the thing about it is if we're not careful, we can allow society, we can allow our influences around us to influence us more than we allow the Bible to influence us. And, you know, I remember one time I went to pastor school and I'm not going to tell you what God convicted me of because that's between me and God. But the thing about it is that I remember sitting there and I remember thinking, I walked into pastor school thinking that, you know what, I was just going to get encouraged, I was just going to get challenged, and I was going to walk out of here ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. And instead, God showed me something, an area that I was failing in. And the interesting part about it is I wasn't intentionally failing in that area. I wasn't saying, listen, God, I'm just going to let that area slide. I wasn't saying, God, you know what? This area is not important. I wasn't giving the traditional excuses that you think that when a preacher or even a Christian fails a little bit, that you know, I wasn't necessarily saying, God, I'm not going to do it. I wasn't telling God I wasn't. I wasn't making excuses. To be honest with you, in certain area, I just realized that I was careless. See, this passage you have somebody deciding that they're going to do things the way that they thought they should be done. Here's the thing is they first thought about idols and the Bible talks about, and then they thought, well, you know what? Hey, listen, we're going to get a Levite and we're going to make them our priest. And you know what? God's going to bless us because we have our own priest in our pocket. And I tell you what, churches all across America, you know what? They want to have their ears tickled and they want to have their pastor in their pocket and they want to tell them what to preach. I'll never forget before we came here, I talked to a church and they were looking for an assistant, but they were looking for an assistant and the pastor was going to be a layman. And the idea is that layman was going to take and he was going to train a preacher to be exactly the way he wanted him to be. And I'll be honest with you, we got there and they didn't tell us that right away. We got there and automatically red flags were going up because they wanted a preacher in a pocket. And the thing about it is that here's the thing is, these people right here were the same way. They wanted a Levi in a pocket. And the thing about it is they didn't want the preaching the way it was supposed to be from God and saying, thus saith the Lord. They wanted to hear what they wanted to hear and they wanted certain topics stayed away from. What I found very quickly when we were praying about where to go, we almost stopped using the website that our church listed that a friend of mine found and recommended to me. Because here's the thing is, he would look on this site and I would look on the site and the churches that were looking for assistance were just, they were out there. And anyways, but the thing about it is that, listen, we've got to get to the point where we live life carefully by the Word of God and not by our careless living. And so the thing about it is the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 9, the Bible says, I'm in verse 38, or chapter 38, that won't work, because there's no verse 9. And let's see, Isaiah chapter 32 and verse 9, the Bible says, "Rise up, ye women that are at ease, hear my voice, ye careless daughters, give ear unto my speech." See, the thing about it is with this idea of careless living, people are not giving ear to the voice of God. One that is careless is just living for themselves. They don't really care what God has to say, or they're not careful about what God has to say. See, the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, the Christian life is not one of just living at ease. The Christian life, the Bible says, "Yea, and all that will live godly shall suffer persecution." I think sometimes Christianity does does Christ a disservice when we think that, you know what, I'm going to get saved and all my troubles are going to go away. I'm going to get saved and bless God. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to have blessings. I'm going to be trouble free. And what happens is we get saved and everything goes along for a little bit. And all of a sudden we start facing a little bit of persecution. All of a sudden things don't quite go our way. And we look up at God and say, "God, what happened? I thought I was going to be rich. I thought I was going to have blessing. I thought I was going to have this and I thought I was going to have that." And what happens is God says, "Listen, you can't live life carelessly. You've got to be careful. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." See, the thing about it is all we care about too many times is my house, my car, my family, my job, my vacation, my food, my space, my money, and my feelings. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, if we're not careful and walking circumspectly, the thing about it is we'll look inward so much to the point that we'll find ourselves off course. And I'll be honest with you, when I went to pastor school, the thing that I found is that I had allowed selfishness to allow me to be careless. And so the thing about it is we've got to be careful about this. See, here's the thing is we are living in a time that is careless in the living. You know, the thing about it is that we've adopted this idea that, you know what? Hey, listen, it doesn't matter what church you go to. As long as you're going to church, you're all okay. The thing about it is the Bible says that when we get to the end times, there'll be teachers having itching ears, for they will not endure sound doctrine, for they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And the thing about it is God is very clear that we need to attend a church that preaches from the Word of God. If somebody attends a church that does not follow this book, I don't care if it's this one or any other, that church I wouldn't give you 2 cents for. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel. But the thing about it is we need to attend a church where the preacher gets up and says, "Thus saith the Lord." Lord. And the thing about it is I'm so glad that our pastor loves the Bible, knows the Bible like the back of his hand, and he feels like he has the liberty to get up and say what God has given him. And I'll be honest with you, if I attended a church where the pastor didn't get a message from God and didn't get up and preach what God told him to and not what the deacons told him to, and I'm, you know what, I'll be honest with you, I'd find another church. But the thing about it is why? Because that's a careless living church. Careless living is manifested in the willingness to accept any religion that is not scriptural. Here you have in Judges, they decided that they were just going to find a priest. And as long as they had a priest, they felt that they were going to have the blessings from God. God said, "You know, it doesn't work that way." See, the thing about it is that, I'll be honest with you, there are a lot of good people in Bucyrus that are attending wrong churches. There are a lot of good people that have a lot of good intentions that are attending services right here right in Bucyrus this morning that are being deceived. Why? I'll be honest with you. Intentional or not, it's careless living. It goes down to that whole idea and study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And here's the thing is, I'll be honest with you. I hope that when we go home after a Sunday morning service or a Sunday night service, that we go home and we study the Word of God. And you know, the thing about it is that, you know, I remember hearing this from my youth pastor a lot. And boy, was he ever true. He said, listen, he would get up in the youth program and he said, listen, if you're planning on growing from three services a week and nothing else, he says, you'll be a dead Christian. And if we think that we're just going to attend church and that's the height of our spirituality, he says, I'll be honest with you, I'll be there to pick up the pieces. And what I found is that's dead true. The thing about it is if we just decide that we're going to go to church and that's going to be our token Christianity, I can speak from personal experience, and I'm sure a lot of you can too, is we fail as a Christian. The thing about it is we've got to go home and we've got to study. And I was just talking to an individual the other day, and I seen him walking in the driveway, and I pulled in to harass him, and you can feel sorry for him. But anyways, he was talking about his Bible study. And I tell you what, I was excited about that. Why? Because you know what? I knew, not that it mattered what I knew, but the thing about it is it was exciting and it was encouraging to hear of somebody else that studied the Word of God and decided that they were going to have a walk with God, they were going to live a careful life, and they were going to do what God wanted them to do. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, there are preachers out there, the Bible says, that are preaching things that are not the Word of God. And so here's the thing is that listen, we should go home and we should study, because the thing about it is listen, you know what's interesting is you go to any one of these stores in town, a lot of times the way they, you know how they tell the counterfeit is they study the original. Because if you study the counterfeit too much, a lot of times you get confused on what's counterfeit and what's original. But if you know the original, then when a counterfeit comes along, red flags come up, that's not what I'm used to hearing. So the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, when we're studying the Word of God, when we're praying, and here's the thing, it's not just reading the Word of God, but studying the Word of God, allowing it to sink in and absorb. The thing about it is we're like we talked about in Sunday school, not just a hearer of the Word, but a doer only. The thing about it is when we allow the Word of God to change our lives, when we're allowing the original, the final authority, if you will, to work in our lives, and what happens is when a counterfeit comes along, we say, that's not what I'm used to hearing. And so the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, careless living is manifest in the willingness to accept a religion that is not scriptural. And here's the thing is, if we're blown around by every wind of doctrine, like the Bible talks about, it's because of careless living. When we say that as long as you go to a church, it's okay. Here's the thing is, I wish I had a nickel for every time somebody told me that. I'd probably have at least 20, 30 bucks in my pocket. But the thing about it is that, listen, it does matter what church we go to. It does matter. Is this the only church? No, but the only church should be one that preaches this book. And so the thing about it is if we're attending a church that the preaching of the Word of God is not being preached, that's careless living. And so here you have the Levite that could be bought off. He did it for money. You know, I'll be honest with you, there are preachers out there that do it for money. And there are preachers in this town that do it for money. I remember hearing a preacher talk to a young preacher boy. A red flag went up and he said, listen, I would never go to a church that could support me, that couldn't support me full time. And I remember thinking, well, how did the churches start then? Right? Where's the soul winning? Where's the faith in God? Here's the thing is, I'm sorry, but if I could stand up and I preach that you should have faith in God, bless God, I should be having faith in God too. And if God called me to somewhere, it doesn't matter if I collect a paycheck. It doesn't matter if I have to pay to be there. But Brother Watson, don't get any ideas. But anyways, the thing about it is that, listen, you know what? If God has called me to be somewhere, it shouldn't matter how much money I'm making. It shouldn't matter how little money I'm making. The thing about it is what should matter is the fact that I'm where God wants me to be, you know, and I'm doing what God wants me to do. And now, don't get me wrong, I think you should take care of your preacher, and I think everybody here does. But the thing about it is that, listen, money shouldn't be an issue. Money shouldn't be an issue. Judges chapter 17 and verse 13, the Bible says that, then said Micah, now know that I that the Lord will do me good, seeing that I have a Levite to my priest. Like I said before, there are a lot of preachers who are just like this Levi, just wanting to tickle ears, just wanting to make sure that they collect a paycheck, just wanting to make sure that, you know what, if I keep my congregation happy and I don't talk about sin, I don't talk about this, I don't talk about that, then you know what, I can keep them happy and I can get more money in my pocket. I'll be honest with you, churches like that don't have the blessing of God on their life. They don't see souls saved. They don't see lives changed. They don't see God working in their pews. Why? Because a preacher has the wrong idea. When a preacher stands up and he says, listen, I'm going to do this because of money, it's time to get a new preacher. And the thing about it is I'll be honest with you, I believe that we don't have one of those preachers. I believe that our preacher is one of those that will stand up and do what God says, whether the money is there or not. But the thing about it is there are preachers like that. There are some in Bucyrus. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. I'm trying to use a lot of scripture that way make sure that it comes from God and not me. The Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. The thing about it is I'll be honest with you. We need to do what we need to do because we want the light. The Bible, let me read that verse again. Chapter 8 and verse 20, the Bible says, to the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there's no light in them. It reminds me of the verse, and when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Here's the thing, is you want to speak with light? Get close to God. You want to live a careful Christian life? Draw closer to Him. See, the thing about it is we read in Sunday school about the man that beholdeth himself in the glass, and I'm slaughtering the verses a little bit, and I'm sorry for that, and then goeth his way, basically, and forget what manner of man he was. See, the thing about it is, you know what? I'll be honest with you. Whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, when we look into the Word of God, it's almost impossible to look there too long without spotting out the careless living. Thing about it is I don't know how many times I've gone into Bible reading and Bible study, and God's pointed out areas in my life that I needed to improve. I'll be honest with you, it's pretty much a daily thing. And you know, the thing about it is that if we want to live a careful Christian life, we've got to get closer to God. We've got to take and we've got to desire the light. And so the thing about it is Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18, the Bible says, give you a moment to turn there. The Bible says, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. If we want Calvary Baptist Church to be effective, we've got to have a vision. But here's the thing is, if we want that vision to come to light, he that keepeth the law, happy is he. See, the thing about it is there's no more dead feeling than to be useless. I tell you what, one thing that I wasn't looking forward to when coming here was starting a new job. Because you always feel like the odd man out when you first start a job. You always watch things done, and you're trying to jump in, and you're trying to learn, and you're trying to be useful. But I tell you what, inevitably you always have that feeling of uselessness. The thing about it is, listen, we can have a vision to do great things for God, but unless we're willing to obey God, it'll never happen. And so the thing about it is basically, I'm gonna, for sake of time, I'm gonna cut the sermon off short. But the thing about it is listen. We've got to be careful about this idea of careless living. Too many times we live life the way we think it should be led instead of consulting the Bible. Too many times we allow certain areas to kind of waver off course. This is why the Bible says that God gives us preachers and evangelists, and God gives some teachers and preachers, and he gives us a list of people. Why? For the work of the ministry and for the edifying of the saints. Why? Because let me tell you, we as Christians, we tend to wander. We tend to get off course. We tend to allow carelessness to creep in. And if we're not careful, we can allow that carelessness to ruin our lives. And the thing about it is listen, I'm not preaching to anybody other than myself. I don't know if you've heard preachers say this before, but you get a brief portion of this message. I've got 5 more pages of notes. You got a brief couple page abridged version of it. I got the full-fledged deal straight from God. And the thing about it is that a lot of times God deals with the preacher long before he deals with the congregation. And the thing about it is that, listen, we've just got to get over this idea of careless living. Let's not be careless. Let's be careful. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for your word. And Dear Heavenly Father, I felt like I didn't really do this passage justice. Heavenly Father, this passage that we read was a kind of a lengthy passage, but it was a passage of folks that decided that they were going to do what they thought was right. And the Bible says every man did that which was right in the eyes of in their own eyes. But dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you help us to do what's right in your eyes. Help us to study. Help us to draw close to you. Help us to do what we need to do to place ourselves into a position where we won't allow the flesh, the world of flesh and the devil to influence us into a careless Christian life. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.